reach Brahmaloka, and from Brahmaloka you attain Brahman. If you have no thoughts, right here, you have already attained Brahman. Thereafter there is no going anywhere. You have reached Brahman. So as your thoughts, so your destiny. Now, if you have to think about Brahman, some can think of Brahman without qualities, because ultimately Brahman is Nirguna. Thinking about Brahman without gunas means what? You cannot think of Brahman without gunas. What it means is you have become identified with that and you function. You are in that bhav. Whereas thinking about Brahman with certain qualities, Saguna Ishwara Upasana. If you have Saguna Ishwara Upasana, which is probably more people can do that. So that if you have, your thoughts are of divine things, not about the world. So the sum total of all your thoughts at the time of death also would be that. At the time of death, suddenly you can't think of Brahman. How you've been living all your life, right? So if it's at the head level, you go to Loka, divine Loka, and from there you reach Brahman. If it is come to your bhav level, where you are living, where you are having Nirguna Ishwara Dhyana, such people here and now, they exhaust vasanas, directly liberate. But for all practical purposes, if you have shifted your thoughts from the world to divinity, if it is through Saguna Ishwara, you have to have liberation through stages. If it is Nirguna Brahman, direct liberation, either Kama Mukti or Kaivalya Mukti. So I told you, it's like you have boarded the flight, but the flight is still in your country, it's not gone to the destination. Somebody else, the flight is taken off, it's halfway through. Somebody else, the flight has landed in the destination country. But for all practical purposes, the fact that you are sitting in the flight, it's almost you have reached there. So the idea that we need to pick up here is, rather than getting involved in all these things, shifting the thoughts from the world to divinity. Right? So what is this divinity? He gives some pointers. Right? The pointers he talks about in verse number 9. He says, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmarityaha Sarvasya Dataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasam Parastha. Now, if you take these as qualities and superimpose it upon an idol and meditate, it becomes Saguna Ishwara Upasana. If you take them as Brahman and you, when you contemplate, you imbibe those qualities and live those qualities right here, then you are exhausting vasanas. For example, kavihi. Kavihi means omniscient in the context. Kavihi literally means a poet. Poet is called as omniscient here. Why? Because he knows, he looks at everything in detail. That is why he is able to bring it out. Any artist, when he brings it out, which means he has looked at each and everything in detail. So Atma is there witnessing each and everything. That witnessing, Atma is called as omniscient. That all-knowing principle. Right? And he becomes that when you contemplate on that. So Kavihi, Purana, means ancient. Ancient means what? In the worldly sense, something is very old, so you call it ancient. But when you say something is very old, that also came into existence once upon a time. But this is the most ancient. Why? Because this never came into existence. It has always been there. When you say something came into existence, it wasn't there once upon a time. Now it is there. Right? So when you say it's ancient, it's not something that came into existence, it's always been there. And when you contemplate, you identify with that. That is what Nirguna Ishwara Dhyana means. You say, that which came into existence, I am not. All, whatever you know, the body, mind, intellect, came into existence. I am not that. So you are identifying with that. which never came into existence, which has always been there. So thus when you contemplate upon each and every quality, here and now, you are exhausting the vasana. So a contemplator is doing Nirguna Ishvara Upasana. Somebody who is imposing these qualities on an idol and thinking about it is doing Saguna Ishvara Upasana. It doesn't matter. Go on, reflect on this. See, how do you know about Brahman? Only through scriptures you can know. Otherwise, anybody can talk anything they want. So the scriptures are giving some pointers. Dwell over them. Today your mind, your body, your walk is only dwelling over the mundane stuff. Right? All the time, from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to sleep, your mind is dwelling over
mundane
things. Your walk, the arena of speech is also dwelling over the mundane things. Isn't it? So you give a spiritual turn to it. See, that is the reason, if at all, we want to give when we go for a retreat. It's not to go to a retreat to see different places. That anyway we can do it in a different way. When you go for a retreat, you are trying to shift the mind from the world to the Atma within. You are retreating, right? You are retreating. So you say, how do you do that with walk? By practice of mano and chanting, etc. Talking about it. You are creating a habit. Are you with me? At the moment, walk is only doing everything worldly. So you give it a spiritual spin to it. Then the habit is created. Because he said, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Mayarpita mano buddhihi mameva eshasi asamshayaha. Verse number 7 which we saw. So what is important is, at the subconscious level, you think about Brahman. How as these things? So when you dwell, you are in it. Are you with me? You are not superimposing upon something and you are meditating over it. You are in it when you dwell over it as you contemplate. And thus, slowly what happens? You may be doing many things, but the vasanas are not sticking to you. That is the most important thing. See, today, you go in, it sticks. You go into a fish market and come back, that smell is on your body. Right? Would you be able to move around in the world, yet none of the stigma of the world sticks on you? That's what he's talking about. So when you dwell upon the pointers given by the scriptures, that prepares you. You go into the world, you remain a witness. Your inside is saying you are ancient, you are not these things. So there is a distance created inside. But outside you move around. What do you mean? Such a person comes back with nothing sticking onto him. He continues further.
Prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranam avesya samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam prayana kale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva bruvor madhye pranam avesya samyak satam param purusham upaiti divyam.
Prayana kale means what? Travelling time. Antima kala. Marana samaye. At the time of death. Prayana kala. You are moving from one body to another. If you take it relatively, if you take it absolutely, you are moving away from this body and establishing yourself in immortality. సో ప్రయాణ కాలే మనస అచలేన, మనస అచలేన. వాట్ ఈస్ ద డెఫినేషన్ ఆఫ్ మైండ్? What is mind? Astir chanchal chanchal man neet ram japa kar. He sing the bhajan, right? So the chanchal is the mind. So when he says manasa achalena, what does it mean?
Does not fluctuate.
Achalena. Yeah. So achalena means what? Does not fluctuate means no mind. Strictly speaking, no mind. Mind means it will jump from one place to another. Mind is compared to a monkey. The surface is mind. The depth is atma. Right? And surface, there will always be turbulence in the ocean. In the depth, it's calm. సో మనస అచలేన, అచలేన మనస మీన్స్ వాట్? గోయింగ్ బియాండ్ మైండ్ ఇన్ ద రిలేటివ్ సెన్స్ సింగిల్ పాయింటెడ్ థాట్ ఫ్లో. బట్ సిన్స్ సింగిల్ పాయింటెడ్ థాట్ ఫ్లో ఇస్ దేర్ స్టిల్ హీ విల్ ట్రావెల్, బట్ ఇఫ్ హీ రీచ్ ద అబ్సల్యూట్ స్టేట్ దేర్ దేర్ నో మైండ్, దేర్ నో మోర్ ట్రావెల్ హియర్ అండ్ నౌ రియలైజేషన్. సింపుల్, నాట్ టు కన్ఫ్యూజ్ యర్సెల్ఫ్. హర్ యు మీన్ అచలేన మనస? See, mind can run to various thoughts, or mind can run to one thought. If it's one thought, travel. If it's various thoughts, come back. Okay? No thought, no traveling. No coming back. Abhi, realization only. Manasa achalena. How it can be brought about to such an extent? Through devotion. Bhaktiyayukto. When the mind is devoted to the higher, right? Hanumanji in Ramayana is a monkey god. Monkey represents mind, because the biggest cage in the zoo is monkey's cage, because it cannot stay in one place. Even if it's in one place, it's doing something or the other, fidgeting, right? So monkey represents thoughts moving from one to another. So Hanumanji, when he saw Ram, the mind got fixated. Right? The mind got fixated. Single point it became. So it's like that. You fix yourself on what? Brahman. Saguna or Nirguna. Without attaching yourself to higher, the mind will not detach itself from the lower. Manasa achalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chaiva. Through the practice of yoga, the balam has come so that the mind is single pointed, or it has reached the state of no mind. And only by fixing the prana, like but perfectly in the middle of the two eyebrows. Bruvor madhye pranam avesha samyak. Satam purusham satam param purusham upaiti divyam. He reaches a supreme resplendent being. Resplendent meaning all knowledge. Is beyond tamas. Is all the time aditya varnam tamasa parasa. We studied last week. Right? Aditya Varnam. He is all knowledge. And sun has nothing to do with light. I'm sorry, nothing to do with darkness. Sun doesn't know what is darkness. Isn't it? Mr. Sun doesn't know what is darkness. Aditya Varnam. So he says, he reaches the supreme resplendent being. Now, prayana kala samaya, you can't do all these things. Now only you are finding it difficult. So from now itself, keep practicing yoga. That's what it is. When you keep practicing yoga, the mind will slip. But continue. Put it back. It will slip. Put it back. Slip. Put it back. Huh? Arjuna asked already, how is it possible to control his mind with this attira and chanchal, for which Lord Krishna said, Vairagena Abhyasena. You remember we studied all that? Abhyasena and Vairagena. Right? So that Abhyasena you have to continue. Then it will come to little steady. Otherwise it will not. Not only we are not doing Abhyas, we are adding fuel to fire. It has become so extroverted now, it is impossible to bring that mind to steadiness. So through Abhyasa Yoga, it will become steady. And that Abhyas will give you Balam. Are you with me? What do you do when you are not playing well? Get back and train. Isn't it? Then Balam comes because you have practiced. So much you have practiced, doesn't matter. That's what these cricketers do. They say he has a weakness for a bouncer. So he gets out. They exploit nowadays with video and all that quickly. So what does the coach do? Continues to bowl him there and gives him training. Having practiced, when he comes back again, he is no more affected by that. Abhyasa, Balam, Yoga will give you that Balam. With that you withdraw the pranas from the senses and fix it in between the eyebrows, he says. It further continues in the next verse, in this whole portion is talking about it. See, what you need to understand is, when your senses are controlled, which is through what the mind runs into the world, right? So, when you practice little external control, you give an environment where the senses cannot run. Also, the most important thing when you talk about sense control means mind control it is. It is the mind that goes out through the senses. Are you with me? Even sitting in Bhagwan ka mandir, man can go to some sensual things. So therefore, you bring the mind control. How can the mind be controlled? I gave you this example which Eknath Ishwaran gives. An elephant in Kerala, when it moves in the small roads, on either side you have shops which sell that huge Kela bundle, you know, which is hanging around. This elephant is moving in that small road, it swings its trunk. And when it swings this side, the whole Kela bunch it plucks and puts it in the mouth. This side of it. So what does the mouth do? He gives a stick to the elephant's trunk. Then it rolls with the stick. And it doesn't go here and there. It's got stick dena chahiye. And that stick is mantra. That stick is all this that we are talking about. Right? Something higher you give. It has to hold something. And you give that higher thing, then the mind doesn't sway either or other. You understand? Then slowly, slowly it comes to control. So yoga balena chaiva. So when the energy is not getting dissipated through your eyes, it gets fixated in the middle of the eyebrows, where they talk about Shiva Netra. Right? It is about Shiva Netra or the third eye. So please understand this. Wherever your focus is, that opens up. Isn't it? Somebody is left-handed, somebody is right-handed. If you keep on putting your focus into the left hand, your left hand also becomes strong. So you are opening that chakra by sending your focus to that. Are you with me? Now we have never done this. We have never done this. All the time our energies are getting dissipated through the external eyes. The mind is where our attention is, and then the mind is flowing through the eyes, ears, nose and all that. So what is happening is the energy is getting dissipated. When you don't do that, all the energy conserved is focused on the Shiva Netra, that inward eye. When the inward eye is opened, it flows inward. The all other areas, it flows outward. Simple. But whenever you open the inward eye, before that they talk about cleansing yourself. Because whatever thought you have, when you open the inward eye, it becomes a reality. What do you mean? So therefore, they say, do a lot of tapas. Cleanse yourself. Become purified. Right? He talks about so many practices. With mind steady, with devotion. Devotion to the Supreme. Right? And united by the power of yoga, only by fixing the prana perfectly in the middle of the eyebrows, he reaches the Supreme Resplendent Being. And you mean? See, in yoga practice, they talk about all this. That energy which is getting dissipated through the five senses is conserved and directed inward. And that builds strength. See, we are constantly creating a path. The path is from us to the world. The path from us within is not done. Therefore it's not there, it's weak. But this path is very strong. In science also they talk something similar to this. In brain, there is a connection between amygdala to prefrontal cortex and prefrontal cortex to amygdala. Amygdala is strong now, the way we have lived. And the path from amygdala to prefrontal cortex is strong. But if you learn to live properly, you will strengthen the prefrontal cortex and the path from prefrontal cortex to amygdala. The amygdala will shrink, the path from amygdala to prefrontal cortex will shrink. So the yogis, especially the Tibetan monk and all those people, when they stand and see, they say that the neuronal connection from amygdala to prefrontal cortex is weak. And the amygdala itself is weak. Whereas the prefrontal cortex is strong and the prefrontal cortex and amygdala path is strong. That is why anything that comes, they are not perturbed. It's a practice. We have no idea about it and we have to do it learning yoga properly. And if you do that, then the mind will only go inward. See, anything and everything you see, this you can see also, once you start becoming a little philosophical, even in the movies, for example, I'm giving a very gross example, just to make you understand. You see, in the movies, some of the sensual songs, they sing. He is talking, keeping his beloved in mind. But you replace the beloved with the Brahman, it will fit exactly.
Like Sufi.
Exactly. It will fit exactly. Are you with me? So now, somebody listens to that song, their sensual vasanas are brought out. Somebody listens to that song, their thoughts are going towards Brahman. Why? Because that connection is become strong now. Please understand that. Just to convey that, I am giving that example. Right? So, we have no idea about that path only, that inward path. Because we have never put in effort in the direction and strengthened it. So yogi is not like that. He is put in effort and he is strengthened that. So even at the time of death, what happens? His thoughts will go towards the self only. Right? But since in the case of a yogi, there is an effort involved, in striving involved, and he with volition withdraws the pranas from the senses and brings it into this path and focuses on the middle chakra, he is supposed to be going through the Brahma Loka, Krama Bhakti, not direct liberation, because effort is still there. In the case of Nirguna Upasaka, there is no effort. It automatically goes there. You understand? He is not saying, I will bring it. It's already there. In the case of Yogi, he withdraws. Here, volition gives up itself. In fact, the explanation given for Jesus Christ coming back after 3 days is this. The yogi, see, there are people who don't believe. They think that he actually died and came to life again. If you take any doctors and test his body, they will declare the body dead. But the yogis, at volition, they can reduce the heartbeat, they can increase the heartbeat, and all that they can do. In fact, in this few decades ago, Swami Rama has demonstrated this also. You know, so they have demonstrated it. Then they see the pulse that it goes slow. At will, they can do this. So they say that Jesus Christ learned all this yoga and he was doing that yoga there. For all practical purposes, they say he is dead. But in at volition, they can revive it back. And that's what he did. You understand? So with volition, when he is giving up, with that thought at the center of the eyebrows, then there is ego still lurking. Are you with me? Therefore, he is not 100% merged. So he will still go through a path and he will reach, but he will not come back. As far as he is concerned, he will go to supreme resplendent being. Supreme resplendent being here for that person would be, see, one is reaching the city of your beloved. Other is coming and hugging and becoming one with your beloved. So in the case of a yogi, he has reached the city of the beloved. In the case of a jnani, he has become one with the beloved. That's the subtle difference. If at all you are interested in the difference. Otherwise, the yogi also becomes one with the Brahma, which is his beloved. Are you with me? So prayana kale manasa chalena. So if the manasa achalena is taken as single thought, then there is traveling. If manasa achalena is going beyond mind, means it's already united. So if while living, his personality is soaked in Brahma, while death also will be the same. In fact, like I told you last week, I think we discussed this. What is the difference between wise and unwise? I was asking that question, right? Did I ask you in this class? What is actually the difference between wise and unwise?
In terms of Gita, wise person understands the world is temporary and changing.
Wise will identify with I being Brahman, not the small I.
Correct. Totally ulta. What Brahman and, sorry, what wise and unwise live and value. In the 69th verse of chapter 2, he already talked about it. He said that which is night for him is day for us. Isn't it? That in which the yogi is awake, we are asleep. Ulta. Even Warren Buffett said, in the stock exchange market, he says, when everybody buys, I sell. When everybody sells, I buy. Ulta karein hum log. Right? Now what do we understand from this? We are afraid of death. He is afraid of birth. Because he knows that birth and death are inseparable. Right? So he doesn't waste his time worrying about death. He spends his time thinking about birth. How was I born here now? I was born here now because of my vasanas, my desires. So he goes about dealing with them. Therefore, having dealt with them, now when death comes, he has no issues. Why? Because he knows there is no more desires, there is no more coming back. So that's what they call an art of dying. Some people say, art of dying. What is dying? What is this art of dying? When you die, right, you are so attached to this body, right, your thoughts are all surrounded towards this body and your extended relations. which is also body. We discussed that before, right? My body has come from my parents. My brothers and sisters' body came from the same parents. My children have come from this body. All bodily connections. Right? The thoughts are still there. Whereas in the case of a yogi, he is already disconnected from the body. So whenever the death happens, no problem. Why? For all practical purposes, he is already died. His ego is already died. So he is not giving up his body with volition. In the case of a yogi, it is with volition, with some effort. Right? Since the effort is involved, he will go through that. In his case, he is not thinking about giving up the body or not giving up.
Question on nirguna and saguna, and also this effort. And also that the yogi and jnani, I think sort of connected from that. So yogi needs the effort to...
Yogi is still putting in that effort, he is still striving.
But jnani also is putting in effort.
Jnani means one who has reached that state where he is already in it.
But how is he in the state? By putting in the effort, by doing, studying. How does the jnani reach that stage?
Read verse number 8, chapter 5. Read that verse.
You see, you also ask the difference between a wise and an unwise person. The first response that came to my mind is actually very opposite of what the person is saying. But I think a wise person behaves with or reacts with instinct.
What?
A wise person
instinct.
Reacts with an instinct, and it's of a pure nature. An unwise person, I think, is more calculated. So there's more thought involved. It doesn't matter whether you're true or not. There is more thought in an unwise person.
It comes unnaturally. It doesn't come naturally to that person.
Wise is talking from the state, unwise is talking from the head. That's what she's talking about.
Yeah, I guess.
So, that's fine. Yeah, Mother. Read that.
It says, the knower of truth, the knower of truth itself, thinks I do nothing at all, seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, going, sleeping,
breathing.
That's how Jnani lives? No ego, no karta.
That's how Jnani lives. He lives as a witness, as a sakshi. See, that's what I told you. One is sitting in the flight which is yet to take off. Other is sitting halfway through, the flight is reached halfway through. Other is already reached. So the difference between yogi and jnani is, one is at this end, one is at this end. So what I am trying to tell you here is, or what the scriptures are trying to tell us is, yogi is bigger than spiritual journey. Right? A jnani is there already. So he is not thinking that he is doing anything. He is allowing his prakriti to function. So that's why I said manasa achalena. Achalena manas means what? Two types of achalena manasa I talked about. One is state of mind where mind is going single-pointedly towards the self. Yoga dharana. That's what he talked about. Yoga dharana. Dharana means stream. Right, that one stream. Like you pour oil from one vessel to another vessel, the oil goes in one stream. In our case, the mind goes in our other everywhere. So many things. It doesn't go in one stream. In this case, the path is well established. In the other case, he has already become one with Brahman. Mind is ajale, it means no mind.
But Guruji, how can a person become that unless he is... Like say talking in our context.
Unless he's gone through all this, yeah, he's gone through all this.
Yeah. Become the jnani,
yes,
through effort, through whatever, and one is still in the process. That's okay.
That's all.
Okay. But the jnani is also gone.
Of course.
Gone through the
of course.
Perceptive.
Of course. See, somebody is instantly able to
imbibe it, basically.
Be in it. It's spontaneous. In the case of a jnani.
Because it's attained it already.
Because it's already put in that yoga balana. Instantly. See, I think I've said this before, there is something called as the 3D pictures. Have you seen them?
Mm-hmm.
When you see the picture, you will see nothing there. As if somebody is sprinkled some ink, different colors ink everywhere. You don't know what it is. Right? Or sometimes it will be like same picture, different pictures, you know, that's how it is. Different image reflections of the same picture. So you wonder what this is. A lot of people cannot understand what that is. But if you go and watch it carefully, suddenly you'll get a picture, three-dimensional picture. It could be a beautiful cricket stadium, or a fish aquarium, or Mahavishnu lying on snake, you know, etc., etc. And initially, you have to little bit, you'll take some time to look. And once you've seen in one picture, next and all is automatic. Supposing you see 10 pictures like that, second, third and all is very fast. That's what I'm talking about in the case of a jnani. But he's already put in that effort. Nobody can become a jnani without putting in the effort of his own.
A jnani also has to have some either prarabdh or this life or whatever. Some.
Yes, exactly. If that's your question, yes, he's already practiced all this.
Like a yogi would need to practice it every day, like prabhyas and vairagya. It's an everyday thing to reach.
That is why we say, you see Swamiji's commentary, very clearly, he doesn't talk about all these details. He says very clearly, through karma, bhakti, jnana yoga, hatha yoga, on a daily basis, your mind becomes single-pointed. Right? It goes, you do yoga, it comes back. Keep on doing. Then there comes a time when it doesn't go anymore. And even if you are anywhere, like I gave you the example, even if you are watching a movie and the song is about the beloved, in your mind it is about Bhagavan. Because you are already established there. Your path is so strong there. Now this path is disconnected.
Now the Bhagavan, you said, can be sagun or nirgun.
Yes.
So sagun is very easy for all of us.
Through sagun you go.
How do we visualize nirgun? If Om is also sagun, Om also is sagun.
Om can be sagun. I'll talk about it when we come to verse number 12 and 13.
Okay. No, but you can't aim towards that. That is, you either become that or you are sagun.
Through cleansing of your thoughts, no? Listen to me here. Hmm. Through cleansing of your thoughts, only you can come to nirgun.
Hmm.
You are already having so many thoughts. So for you, at the moment, nirgun is not suited. So first you go through sagun.
Mm.
Now sagun also can be with subtle or gross. Mm. Right? Probably in many of our class students' case, it need not be gross form, but it may be subtle form. Subtle form by that we mean O, for example. Mm. But O also can be nirgun. I'm going to talk about that when we come to verse number 12.
But if you talk about pure, whenever you want to answer it, if you talk about just nirgun, even if you leave Om out, so no qualities, no, then you say people like us, you visualize what? Energy, just
observing.
Just energy?
So I'm trying to say you cannot visualize, you will be in it, this can only happen to the extent you cleanse your personality.
Okay.
Till then it doesn't become reality to you. The nirgun upasana. Right? Nirgun means you understand that you intellectually appreciate but still it's not become nirgun. The nirgun upasana you are already in, which means you are seeing Brahman only. Even you are not there to that extent. You know? So you, walking, talking, suffering, you are like you are a woman. In subconscious it's totally filled in that you are a woman. Nobody needs to constantly remind every day morning you get up and then you look at the thing, I'm a woman. You don't act. It's in your subconscious. Even in sleep, the way you will sleep, you'll be sleeping like a woman. You understand? Because it's in your subconscious. Like that it's come. So for that the external thoughts and all that should go. Without proper vairagya. In fact this jnana is not even initiated. In the Atma Bodha, he talks about Atma Bodha should be given to those who are qualified. Qualified, he talks about certain qualifications. Tapo vikshina papanam kshantanam vitaraginam mumukshu nama pekshoyam Atma Bodho vidhiyate. You see, go by that strict definition. We cannot have class. Because we are not even able to keep our mobile phone in silent mode or switched off mode or little avail namaz mode during the class. Thoda sa vairagya hona chahiye. Right? Cricket match, no class.
Really? That's true.
Right?
definitely.
So what is this? Are you with me? I am not ridiculing that. See, when such an obsession is there, you might as well give it a direction and do it. But you must understand. Are you with me? Where we stand? It's not that we are there. There are totals of where we are. Are you with me? It should be there. Otherwise, nothing of this sort will happen. You cannot understand this good Brahman and all that. Forget about all that. Are you with me? So, Nirgun Brahman, when you really start appreciating, you are in that bhav already. In walking, in sleeping, in talking, in everything, you are there. Right? To the extent the cleansing happens, to that extent you will be Nirgun Brahman. So therefore, cleansing process may, they talk about yoga and upasana, karma yoga and upasana, and then they also talk about little jnana to that extent. Studying, then the studying goes deeper, then your inside only changes, the whole thing changes. Nobody can explain that. That's all I'm trying to say. As you cleanse, it happens. So don't try to visualize that. You cannot, with your impure mind, you cannot understand that. By shelving the unnecessary things from your personality, this will automatically happen. Isn't that bhava already?
Nirgun would be like a Buddha or any Swami who has reached enlightenment. You are already enlightened. You are.
But before enlightenment also, you practice Nirguna Upasana. You can come to Nishkama. Nirguna Upasana is almost there. A little bit, maybe the trace of ego may be there. But that also is a process.
Practice. How can you practice Nirguna?
You can't practice Nirguna. That's why I'm trying to tell you again and again.
Yeah, if you're either Nirguna or you're... Oh, you need to practice Nirguna.
But it's not 100% na, in the beginning.
No, it's... Oh, okay, silence.
And it's non-stop, it's going.
This is my phone.
Somebody is ringing desperately. And I just told her, I said, go and take it outside. It's non-stop.
My phone is silent.
This is mine from
silence. I don't know what is bothering
me. Buddha, so much Buddha has reached
Nirgun.
But we should have reached our visualizing Buddha. And it's Nirgun.
At the moment, the sakshitvam is not 100%. To some extent is there. To that extent, you are also becoming Nirguna Upasana. So you can't say take 100% of 0%. It's not like that. That's all I was saying.
Like what the picture example which you gave, where you're focusing, when once you see it, you see, you Nirguna will see only the picture. The flashes won't.
That is why. That is why.
The Sagun will have to focus.
Exactly.
In and out.
That is why in the scripture they say, don't get into these technicalities. Mm. What is important for you is very simple. Right. Keep on cleansing your personality.
Mm-hmm.
And continue contemplating. Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana. With Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. And then slowly, slowly, the contemplation inside is becoming a Sakshi.
Mm.
Right, you're becoming a Sakshi. That sakshi bhav when you are there, you are in Nirguna. Thereafter there is no attributes of Brahman. See, strictly speaking, even when you say, I am conceiving Nirguna Brahman, it's not Nirguna Brahman. Because Nirguna Brahman means it's beyond conception. Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastati said, beyond that, before that he said one more thing. What is that? Achintya Rupam. What is Achintya Rupa mean? Unthinkable form. What is unthinkable form? You are saying, I have conceived Nirguna. Then it is what? Saguna. Strictly speaking. So Nirguna means that push. Strictly speaking. I am talking about that from that point. Read me. Next verse.
Yadaksharam Veda Vidho Vadanti. Yadaksharam Veda Vidho Vadanti. Vishanti Adhyatayo Vita Raghaha. Vishanti Adhyatayo Vita Raghaha. Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti. Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti. Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pravakshe. Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pravakshe. Yadaksharam Veda Vidho Vadanti. Vishanti Adhyatayo Vita Raghaha. Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti. Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pravakshe. Yad Aksharam Veda Vidho Vadanti. Those who are knowers of Vedas, they declare it as Aksharam. Aksharam means perishable. Aksharam means imperishable. Right. Anything that you can conceive of is perishable. So Brahman is Nirguna, which is beyond Kshara, which is imperishable. Knowers of Veda is different from those who chant Veda every day. You understand? You may chant Veda every day. Traigunya Vishaya Veda, he said. Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. In, I think 45th verse of chapter 2. Vedas are also about three gunas only. You have to rise beyond them. So when he says knowers of Veda, means the true essence, the Brahman, those who have become Brahman, those who know Brahman, those who have realized self, they declare it as Aksharam. Through Vedas they have declared it as Aksharam. Beyond Kshara, beyond perishable. Then Vishanti Adhyatayo Vitaragaha. The Vitaraga means what? Raga means passion. Attachment. Like. Vitaraga means one who has become free from likes and dislikes. He enters Vishanti, he enters. They who have become freed from passion, they enter. So you cannot conceive Nirguna Brahman. You have to become free from passion. Really. And then Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti. Yadi Ichanti. They desiring which? Desiring what? Desiring reaching Brahman. Those people who practice Brahmacharyam. Brahmacharya means walking in the path of Brahman. Chara means walk. Walking in the path of Brahman. I told you already, our neuronal connections are walking in the path of world. He is walking in the path of Brahman. Brahmacharya. Right? Lot of people think Brahmacharya means just controlling the senses forcefully. That is not Brahmacharya. In fact, when you control your senses forcefully, your mind will go only towards the senses even more. In fact, the center starts shifting. You understand? From the eyes to the brain. Forcefully. As if you forcefully control, something happens. You know, when you, the day you forcefully control, it starts occupying your brain. Your head. Isn't it? So Brahmacharya is not forceful control. Brahmacharati iti Brahmacharya. The path is towards inward. As a result of that, their senses are controlled. Right? See, your energy is not just dissipated physically. You dissipate more energy mentally actually, thinking about it. Some people talk about Ojas Shakti getting dissipated in the act of sex. Therefore they control it. You understand? But actually you dissipate more Ojas through mental intelligence. Are you with me? By forceful control, you start, it, the center starts moving towards the brain. And then you are losing more energy. Are you with me? So this is not that sort of Brahmacharya he is talking about. Yadi Ichanti Brahmacharyam Charanti. That means what? The thoughts are now not going outwardly. His thoughts are going inwardly. As a result of that, the centers are controlled automatically. The thoughts are not running outward. It's inward direction.
right? Adichanto brahmacharyam. Tatte padam sangrahena pravakshe. They, that goal, I talk in, I will declare in brief. What that goal is. How you get there. I will talk about that in brief. Which the knowers of Veda have reached, those who have controlled their passions have reached, and those who practice disciplines have reached. Then your intellect directs your mind and controls it, it becomes discipline. Otherwise it becomes force. And the moment you force, it takes an opposite direction. By forcing, the path from you to the world becomes stronger. Please understand this. Are you with me? That is why we say, as a grahastha, you maintain a regulated lifestyle, but start practicing yoga, so that you are creating that path strong. And to the extent that path is getting stronger, this path is getting deleted automatically. Once that is done, thereafter, even amidst the senses, your mind will only be going towards Brahman. That means you are totally in control. Initially, when you practice, you withdraw physically. But simply withdraw, don't keep quiet. You withdraw, what are you doing? Practice of karma, bhakti, yam. To the extent you can. Regulate according to your capacity. Then you contact the world consciously. Then slowly, slowly, what happens? Mind will not go there only. Not interested. And even if it is in the world, mind is with Brahman. And that goal I will talk about in brief. Sarvadvarani samyamya, sarvadvarani samyamya, manohridi nirudhyacha, manohridi nirudhyacha, murnya dhyatmana pranam, murnya dhyatmana pranam, Asito yoga dharayan, asito yoga dharanam, sarvadvarani samyamya, manovridhi nirudhyacha, mudnya dhyatmana pranam, asito yoga dharanam, omit ekaksharam brahma, omit ekaksharam brahma, vyaharan mamanusmaran, vyaharan mamanusmaran, yaprayati jandeham, yaprayati jandeham, sayati paramamgatim, sayati paramamgatim, omit ekaksharam brahma, vyaharan mamanusmaran, yaprayati jandeham, sayati paramamgatim. Sarva dwarani samyamya. Dwara means gates. Sarva dwarani means all gates. Samyamya means controlled. Having controlled all the gates. All the gates means having controlled all the senses. The gates. The windows through which the thoughts run towards the world. Now this looks as if first you close your senses. Right? In fact, when a tooth falls, the tongue goes to find that gap very often. So by forcefully shutting your senses, what will happen? You will only be thinking about it. So when he talks about sarvadharani samyamya, what he is talking about? He is talking about turning the mind inward. Then even if the senses are opened, it is controlled. Are you with me? So it's not closing your eyes, etc. alone. Sarvadvarani samyamya. Then having controlled, having confined the mind in the heart. Heart chakra. Having confined your mind in that bhav. Heart means bhav. Fixing prana in the head. Established in yogic concentration. Bringing the attention to the center of the eyebrows, being in yogic concentration, reciting Brahman, the one syllable Om, very interesting. Reciting Brahman, the one syllable Om, remembering me, Omitekaksharam Brahma, Vyaharan Mam Anusmaran, remembering me, he who departs, one who yap prayati tyajan deham, giving up the body, leaving the body, attains the supreme good. Now, this Om, I said I'll talk about it now, right? When we talk about 12 and 13, I said, we'll discuss that. The Om mantra, the one syllable mantra Om, if it's taken as a symbol, pratika alambana. There are two types of symbol. One is pratika, there is pratima. Pratima means gross form. Pratika means subtle form, which is sound. Sound is also a form. Are you with me? That is a subtle form. If you take Om as a symbol, then it becomes Saguna Ishvara Upasana. Then Om is representing Brahma. You are not seeing Om itself as Brahma. Are you with me? It's called Saguna Ishvara Upasana. Then what happens, we have already studied. Then remembering is at the mental level. Smaran. There are two ways of remembering. Somebody went to Swami Ramatirtha and asked, do you remember me? And that was none other than his wife. He had taken up sannyas. Right? He became a sannyasi. So his wife went to him once and said, do you remember me? You know what answer he gave? No. She was shocked. She said, how can I remember you when if you are not different from me? I don't remember me all the time. That way you and me are same. There is no question of remembering. So that sort of remembering is different from remembering mentally. So when Om is a mantra, syllable, symbol to you, and you are superimposing Brahman on it, Om is representing Brahman, then it becomes Saguna Ishvara Upasana. But we are not talking about that here. When you control all your senses and come to that absolute maunam, antar maunam, really, antar maunam means what? Even the senses are not functioning, meaning outwardly. There in that antar maunam, now in this maunam, you are hearing the tick sound, tick, 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 tick is going on now, the clock. When I am talking, is it audible? Usha maybe tick, tick, tick is going, but you are not listening to it. Why? Because you are preoccupied in what I am talking about. So that tick, tick, tick is not going. It's going on, but you are not listening to it. But when you come to that andar maunam, you will listen to that Om from within. You are not chanting Om. You become witness to that Om. That Om is Brahman for you. That is Nirguna Upasana. You remain a witness. When you remain a witness, you do Nirguna Upasana. There is a difference. You understand? So they are not talking about Om as a symbol. Means who means this and this. So that's not the Aksharam that they are talking about. Akshara in Sanskrit also means letter. So the letter Om is not what they are talking about. Are you with me? It's a original sound, if at all you want to call it. You understand? That is Brahman. That Om itself is Brahman. And that Om itself is Brahman, you will only come to know when you go to that Antar Maunam. Are you with me? This is almost close to Om, that sound. Om, some people call it Om, some people call it Amen. Right? They are talking about that innermost core. For that, first is sense control. Don't go and sit in meditation and all these things without sense control. He always talks about sense control. Isn't it? So he says, Omiti Ekaksharam Brahma. So some people say it's that Ekaksharam Om. You keep chanting Om, 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 Om and getting there. That is Saguna, strictly speaking. But Nirguna is when you really become quiet. When you really become quiet means not only organs of action, your organs of perception also is quieted. The prana is totally absorbed. And when you are in that state of absorption, you listen to that sound. That is Nirguna Brahma. And being a witness, you give up the body. you don't thereafter associate with the body. You disconnect yourself from the body. Body is mechanically functioning. That's what he means by tyajan deham. He has given up the body. In fact, he has not given up the body, body has given up him. Because he is established in the yogic concentration. When a child is established in the iPad world, toy world has given up the child. Because it is established in the game world. Are you with me? So that is what he is talking about as womb. Today it's going on. See, what we need to understand is that is the adhisthanam, that is always there. See, like this tick is going on. Whether you are aware of it or not aware of it, it's going on. Tick, 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 it's going on. The clock sound is coming. But you are lost in the external paraphernalia, as a result of which you are not aware. But when all external things, everything quietens, it becomes more and more. That is why we talk about little vairagya. For that you don't even want to do that. How can you? Even to study, that even till the time you study, see, you'll only succeed. The secret of success is only one thing, attention. Jitna attention you give to your chappal, utna it will serve you. Tap, 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 you start walking in different, different ways. You understand? Chappal will snap. Attention. Are you with me? You slowly start giving attention to everything. So how do you pull your mind away from the senses? When your mind is moving towards the senses, it's focusing on the object. How do you bring it inside? By focusing on the subject. Who is it focusing on the object? Ask that question. Who is it calling it as beautiful? You understand? What a beauty, can you say? Now, the attention is going towards the object. Now what do? Consciously you ask questions. Who is appreciating the beauty? What have you done? Shifted the focus from the object to the subject. You understand? That is how vairagya can come. Shifting the focus. When you get angry, where is your focus? Usually on the person on whom you are angry. Shift your focus on the anger and see if anger survives. आप कभी भी anger के बारे में focus नहीं करें, anger के ऊपर, isn't it? Your focus is on the problem. You focus on that anger. Then you will see it has energy. You now got behind the ball. In cricket they say, get behind the ball, get behind the ball. Now you've got behind the ball, the anger ball. Now you can hit it for a six if you want to. You will channelize that energy. So if you want to get rid of anger, you want to rise above anger, shift the focus from the object of your anger to the very anger itself. When you practice Manam, this is what you are supposed to do. You are not playing defend on this. You understand? So what happens is in that Manam, your focus is on this. Then you go within. Then you are establishing that connection more and more. Right? Then you see, you go like that. Oh my God, unnecessarily, and your hand shivering. You become aware of all that. You are seeing yourself mad. That's a different state. Actually, you are not mad then. No madman knows that he is mad. To the extent you are mad, you don't know. The moment you start seeing your madness, you can never be mad again. problem is you don't see. You only see everybody mad. You think you are perfect. So when he talks about sarva dwarani samyamya, at the moment, through the dwaras, your mind is going to the world, into the object. There you must stop and question. Then you are pulling it back, pulling it back. Thus when you keep on doing, there will come a time when your mind will not go out only. Then when the senses are closed and the mind is gone inside direction, then in that antar maunam you see that Brahman there. It is always there. And the moment you become witness, that witnessing capacity goes on increasing, increasing. You become absolute witness. You become one with Brahman. So he says, he attains the Supreme Goal. Supreme Goal is being Brahman, witness. So reciting the one syllable at home is not just chanting the mantra. That's also one way. Then it becomes Pratika. Then it is not Brahman, it is representing Brahman. Do you mean? So when it is representing Brahman, it is Sarguna Upasana. When it is Brahman, it is Nirguna Upasana. It's a very technical difference. Don't get into all these things. Like I told you, what you need to do is what? Gita Raga. Brahmacharya, that is all these things. Vairagya, thoda sa effort. You understand? See, that shows that you are not really craving for it. You do not want to put in that effort. So many people who are doing printing business, when the trade fair or any fair regarding printing is going on in Germany, they'll go. Right? And then they'll say, it's a little far away, I can't come to the class. I'm not saying you should come to the class. You are only saying, I want to come to the class. It's a little far. Anything nearby you let me know. Germany was close to you. Taddure, tadvantike, tadantarasya, sarvasya. It's not far if you really want it. It's very far if you've turned your attention towards the world. It's near and far both. You understand? You still haven't. We are not ridiculing that. Vedanta doesn't ridicule that. He says, okay, he is still not out of it. When that Vairagya comes, nobody can stop him. Nobody can stop him. Vairagya has not come, therefore he is giving all excuses. When you know something seriously wrong with your body, does anybody have to tell you to go to the doctor? You land yourself there. So first is controlling your senses. Sarva dwarani samyamya. First things first. First is controlling your senses. Second is taking the mind inward. So little vairagya at a practice level, keep an environment which is not conducive for the senses to move outwardly. You understand? And then practice. Then slowly, slowly, mind itself will not go outward. Then the sarva dwarani samyamya becomes more established. Then the energy starts getting, the energy that's conserved starts getting collected around the Bruhor Mandir. Then the third eye starts opening because the attention starts coming here. When you focus attention there, that opens. When that opens, the thoughts go inward. And the thoughts go inward, you understand, slowly, slowly, you become aware of that Bija mantra, Bija sound, Om, right, which is there always. And that remembering means, like how you, that example again, Radhita remembering his wife, you don't remember your fingers, you are the ring. That sense he is talking about. Then, when such a person departs, his body only departs, because for all practical purposes, even while he was living, he has become disconnected with the body. When he departs, he has become one with Brahman. That external separation is also removed. Before he was externally separated only, it looks externally separated, but internally he has already become Brahman. Now that external thing is also gone. That's all he says. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.